To every person, there are open doors, opportunities to do something with their life that they make a choice either to act on it or miss it. And that open door is those unique places God places us in which we look at our life and say, you know what? I can do this. I can go there. I can accomplish what God has for me. And the truth of the matter is, oftentimes, when those open doors come, there are also obstacles. And today, we look at the open door. We look at the life skill of what it means to walk through that door. And as we do so, we find ourselves today in the book of Acts, in the 14th chapter. If you have your Bible, turn to that particular text, because as you turn there, here is a place where Paul is on a missionary journey. And he's on a journey in which, when you look at it, you say, because he's going here, everything has to be laid out, everything has to be perfect. And the truth is that by the time we finish, you'll realize, here's a place where Paul is stoned. Here's a place where Paul is knocked down. Here's a place where you find everybody coming up against him in opposition. And what you discover in life is oftentimes the very door that's open to us also finds itself being caught up with obstacles. And all of us in life have obstacles that we have to face, things that we look at, issues that we encounter, feelings that we have to process. And as a result, you see here this very powerful story of what transpires with Paul. And I want us to begin by looking at the 27th verse, because when you look there, you see what happens, how he testified. Listen to what it said. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, it's interesting when you read this, you recognize very quickly something. Paul does not spend any time talking about his difficulty. He doesn't get back to that church and say, you won't believe this. Not everybody liked me. You won't believe this. Some rejected me. He doesn't get into this encounter in which he starts talking about all the things that got in his way. He instead talks about what took him to a place where he experienced the grace of God. And you see what happens in all of our lives is we all face obstacles. This week, I lost another dear friend in the ministry. A friend of mine from over 25 years, we had been dear friends, spoken in churches together all over the country, had done conferences together. I'd spoken at various churches he'd served in. He was in Israel on a pilgrimage with some of his church members, and laying in his bed, he had a cardiac and had ended up dying that night. Just a couple years older than me, and as I got the news that he had passed, I immediately began to remember his story. You see, this is a guy who did not allow his obstacle to define his future. He instead took that obstacle and let it be a motivation to move forward. And all of us have obstacles. We all have issues. We could all say, well, I'm not qualified to do this, or I'm not skilled to do that, or I'm not gifted to do this. This guy, who was my good friend, ended up finding himself in very young in life in a relationship that went south. And that relationship ended with there not being any hope. And I can recall so vividly hearing his story, because here's what he could have said as a young man. As a young man, prior to heading into ministry, how could I ever be able to serve? How could I ever be able to move forward? How could I ever see God use me? But the amazing thing was he did not, listen carefully, he did not let his obstacle define who he was. He instead allowed it to be a motivation to seize an opportunity. And as a result, he has been a privilege to be able to serve in churches for over 30 years. And I look back at his story, and although lost suddenly, in God's timing, this person could have been lost to the obstacle of someone else's choice 35 years before in life. And what happens oftentimes is we find ourselves being defined by someone else's choice, and it becomes an obstacle to us. And I want you to learn one principle today that will overarch everything we're going to see. And then I want to show you how this story unfolds, because it really capitalizes everything that we're about as a fellowship. Because listen carefully, if we don't walk through open doors, who will? Who will go? How will they hear unless they have a preacher? How will they learn unless the gospel is presented? And so as a result, this principle is so critical, because in life, life presents to every one of us obstacles and opportunities. Which one we choose to focus on will define our legacy. In other words, if we allow our negative experiences to define us, what will happen to us? We'll always shrink back into that negativity. We'll shrink back into that rejection. Everyone here has probably been rejected by someone. Everyone here has been hurt by someone. Everyone here has experienced pain from someone. And yet, if we choose to focus on that obstacle, what it does is it causes us to lose focus on what ultimately could guide us to God's best for our life. And listen carefully. Obstacles are affirmations of the opportunity God's placing before us. They're not things that are going to stop us from what it is that God intends for our life. And when you think about your own life, ask yourself the question today. How many obstacles have I let get in my way? Be it unemployment, be it underemployment, be it that a family strain, be it a relational dynamic, be it something that's an obstacle. And all of a sudden, it becomes the way that we think. It becomes the way we respond. And listen carefully, that's not God's design. You see it today in this passage, because here's Paul, and it's interesting what Paul does. If you look back at chapter 13, just at the 51st verse, you'll notice something that Paul does, because Paul is on this missionary journey. And if you'll notice this verse, the Bible says that Paul comes to this place, they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against him and went to Iconium. Now, I want to show you what Paul did, because this translates to how you live and how you should live. Paul had an obstacle of a bunch of people who were coming against what it was he was supposed to do in his life. And this obstacle, they come at him, they refuted what he said, they constantly put down what he was trying to convey. And what Paul does is he comes to that place where all of a sudden he shakes the dust off of his feet and he moves on. Great, great, great illustration for us as we look into this passage today, because here's what I want you to see before we finish today. If you shake the dust off of your obstacles, you'll see your opportunity. If you will not allow those things that have so captured your focus, so allowed you to look only at what pain you have. Listen, if you're here in pain, let that pain push you towards God's purpose. Because what it will do is it will cause you to discover how humility works in all of our lives. It'll cause you to discover His plan for your life. And so what you and I see today is this one overarching principle. Look beyond our obstacles. See what God's opportunity is for our life. And we all have them. Listen, you are not breathing by accident. You're breathing by God's design. I bet you none of you sit around every night thinking, I wonder how I breathe. I wonder how I got this air. I wonder how it got into my lungs. No, the truth of the matter is, it's a part of who you are, because God has put breath in you to cause you to experience what life's all about. And my encouragement to you today is to think about your own life. Ask yourself the question, how long will you let something define you that ultimately will never get you where God wants you to go? How long will you let some obstacle, some pain, some peculiarity, some challenge, some upbringing, how long will you let that be the definition of who you are? And maybe you should be like Paul, because here's what Paul does. Paul ends up in Iconium, and he's still encountering obstacles, but he's committed himself to accomplishing God's purpose. And what you see here in this passage is this. We all will face obstacles. We all will face issues. But we must commit ourselves to accomplishing God's purpose. We must surrender to that. And that's why we begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 14. And what I want today is I want you to see today, very succinctly and very quickly, that what happens with Paul's life and Barnabas' life, because Paul and Barnabas are together, they've been commissioned to go out and go through the open door. What I want you to see today is there's something powerful that happened inside of Paul and Barnabas. And notice as the passage unfolds, they have moved 8 miles away from where they were originally in order to see the next door open, which tells you something. If you're stuck at the wrong door, find the right door. Don't spend your whole life at the wrong door. Listen, if you're standing at the door of relational rejection, don't stand there all your life. Move on to the opportunity of the acceptance that comes through Christ and watch what transpired, because all of a sudden you'll have peace instead of turmoil. Let's begin reading, if we could, in verse 1. I want you to see just the first few verses first, because I want you to see these qualities that stand out. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved, they stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of His grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hand. Now read that and watch what happens. Let's kind of look at this. Here's an amazing story, because here's what you see, the first quality of someone who walks through any door beyond their obstacles is a bold reliance on God. A bold reliance. You see, here's exactly what Paul gathered out of this experience. He grasped that the power of the gospel was validated in the face of opposition. In other words, that's how God validates our opportunity. And because here he finds the people that are embittered. And by the way, when you see that word, Here's what it really means. It means these people were choosing to poison those who haven't yet heard the truth, choosing to put something inside of them that would absolutely poison them and create pain for them. And as a result, many of them turned against them. But you'll notice what happens. The Bible said that they were bold. They were bold, and they continued to speak in verse 3. And they relied completely on the Lord. And what is bold reliance? It's total dependence on God to do what only He can do. And what's amazing is that when you look at this, you realize that the interesting part of this verse is found, in verse 3 where it says, therefore, they spent a long time. So what did they do? People came against them. They had all kinds of opposition. They had all kinds of obstacles. They had all kinds of pain. What did they do? Kept doing what God had called them to do. Kept equipping them to experience what they needed to experience and kept taking to them the gospel, the good news. You see, the interesting thing is if you're here today and you never experienced the good news, it is your greatest obstacle. Because the good news is what transforms our lives. When we experience the good news, Christ becomes our answer. Christ becomes the answer to everything we'll ever face. And without Jesus, we are absolutely doomed to always face our obstacles because there are going to be so many. But with Jesus, we see beyond our obstacles the opportunity God has for us. He grasped the power of the gospel, and he kept preaching, even though there were people there that the Bible says they were embittered and who disbelieved. And when you look at that word, it means they just disobeyed the very essence of what could change their life forever. And you may be sitting here saying, well, you know, every once in a while I disobey. Every once in a while I don't do what it is God has called me to do. And what happens is, listen carefully, when you start doing it your way, you walk on the pathway of disobedience. And on the pathway of disobedience, there are multitudes of obstacles that get in your way. But if you choose to walk with bold reliance on God, then powerful things begin to happen inside of who you are. Your life is transformed. The second thing you see, though, it's interesting. All these obstacles, they get together and they say, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just stone them. Look at verse 5. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it. And they fled and went to other cities, Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. But I want you to notice verse 7. Because in verse 7, it says, they continued to preach the gospel. And what you see here, watch this carefully. When an open door is in before us, if we are to go through it the way God intended, there will be a faithful consistency in our life. In other words, we will be faithful in a consistent way to what God's called us to do and accomplish in life. And you know, the truth of the matter is, this year, our trip had great obstacles. We had great economic obstacles. Every airline ticket went up $600 a person. We had great obstacles to make it all work. But we knew that God was in it. In fact, the truth is, I told Chester on numerous occasions, these are all affirmations that we're right in the middle of what it is God's called us to do because we're facing these things. And what you discover is, here is Paul, and he goes to these other places, and he stays faithful and consistent. Listen carefully. You want to have life the way God intended? Stay consistent in who you are. Stay faithful to who he is. Watch him work in your life. And what will happen is, you'll experience some amazing things inside of your life. In fact, when you look at this, you realize that when our calling, I mean, here's Paul, and he's living out his calling. And our calling demands consistency and confidence. Our calling demands something of our life. When you look at this passage, what you see Paul saying is, there may be obstacles, there may be issues, there may be pains I'm facing, but what I've been called to do, I'm not going to shrink back from. I'm not going to remove myself from. And let me encourage you to think about your own life. Listen, if Jesus owns your heart, he also numbers your days, and he's ordered your steps, and he's destined you to experience what he has for you. So don't shrink back from it, because our calling demands that we're confident, demands that we have the capacity to believe that what God started in us, he will finish. And listen carefully, everybody here, you have to hear this. If you let your obstacle create an inconsistency in you that incapacitates your potential in life, you will look back at the end of your journey and say, how could I have missed this? But it all centers in being faithful and consistent. They continue to preach. Now look on, though, because in verse 8, something powerful happened. Here we see the third thing that transpires when someone is walking through an open door. There's dramatic transformation. Because here is a man born, watch this, he's born without being able to walk. He's born without being able to walk. In fact, look at the verse there. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb. who had never walked. Don't miss that word, never. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, and who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." Now, I want you to see this, because here's what happens. Here's what you discover. Paul had no idea what was happening with sharing the gospel. But here's what we discover. Sharing the gospel always has inevitable consequences. It's always going to impact. It never comes back void. So here's what Paul does. Paul sees this guy, and the Bible says that this lame man is listening to him. In fact, if you look at the tense of that word, you realize something. This man had been listening to every single word he said. You realize how different he is than you and me? Because we don't always hear every word, do we? Sometimes we miss a lot. So he heard every word. And what he heard was, watch this carefully. He heard that there was someone that would heal his broken heart and meet him at the point of his need. Now, I want you to imagine for a second that all of a sudden this guy's lame. And in fact, he's sitting like this. And all of a sudden, Paul says, "Stand up on your feet." Can you imagine the power of that? Can you imagine what happened if all of a sudden at church today you understood something? You sit and say, "Well, I'm not lame." Yes, you are. If you let your obstacles define you. "I'm not lame." Oh, wait a minute. If you let your past define you, you're lame. You're going to be sitting here saying, "Well, my rejection defines me." You're lame. And all of a sudden you hear in church today, "Stand up on your feet." Stand up on your feet. And what do you discover? That he can cleanse what has made you feel so bad. He can heal your broken heart. He can move you forward. He can dramatically transform you. Listen carefully. We don't go from here to anywhere else in the world without a desire for God to dramatically transform someone's life. We don't set men in a discipleship group, in an orphanage with rejected children, or Haley in an orphanage, or Daphne or Dean. We don't put them in orphanages saying, "Hey, just go have a good time." We present to them what hope's all about. We present to them how they can find an answer. That's why we preach in churches all over there. We make sure we convey the message for dramatic transformation. Because listen, when we're in Christ, old things pass away, all things become new. There's something dramatic about it. But look on, though, because there's a fourth and fifth thing I want you to see. Because I want you to see this in light of where we are, because we're going to wrap this together so tightly, and I want you to hear this word of testimony, because I'm going to tell you what you're going to discover. You may be sitting here saying, "Oh, I've got really big problems," but I want you to hear somebody else's problems and realize how minuscule yours may be. Because sometimes we face things and we say, "Oh, man, I went through this pain or that pain." Maybe it is in this moment you'll realize that God can work in your life in a powerful way if you just let him. Look on, though. Notice, if you would, in verse 22. Obviously, Paul continues to make a difference there. But notice what happened. In fact, look at verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, "Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Speaking to perseverance. Now, I want you to think about this, because here's what you discover. Even though they've been through rejection, even though they've been through stoning. By the way, if you look back at the text there, you'll notice in verse 19 that the same Jews who'd rejected him in Antioch had come and stoned him, believing that he was dead. And what does Paul do? Paul doesn't roll over from that stoning and say, "You know what, I give up. This is too hard." The Bible says he gets up and keeps doing what God's called him to do. Keeps moving forward. And here's what you discover about this passage. When we are in the middle of God's will, there is an energizing encouragement that comes from God. Look what happens in this verse. Notice again in verse 22 what he says here. He strengthened their souls. In other words, he didn't just pat them on the back. He said, "God has something for you. Come to him." He strengthened their souls. There was this energy that he brought to the table. Can you imagine what it'd be like if I came into church today and I just said, "Well, today, I don't have much to say. I haven't been thinking about much this week. I hope everyone's doing well. May the Lord be with you. May he make you feel so wonderful. We're all children of God." Now, let me ask you a question. First of all, you know, and I flipped out, first of all. But secondly, you'd walk out of here empty. Why? because you wouldn't have any energizing encouragement. You wouldn't have anything that motivated your spirit. And let me tell you, when Paul sees these people come to Christ, after he has been stoned, isn't it amazing? I mean, Paul didn't sit there saying, hit me with another rock. I mean, it wasn't like, say, chunk one more. But you know what? When he stood up around those stones, can you imagine shaking the dust off? Because they thought he was dead. Shaking the dust off. And as a result of shaking that dust off, ended up being able to see so many be encouraged. And it says here that they exhorted them, they encouraged them. They said something to them that's powerful. Listen carefully. In this day and time, we need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged that God has an opportunity for it, that God has something for it that is powerful. But not only that, there's a final thing we see. We see the surpassing grace of God, because that's what this is all about. Because look, if you would, in verse 26, from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. This surpassing grace. I mean, when you look at it, you realize something very powerful. Everything we ever accomplish in life is connected to the grace of God. That His favor would rest on us to accomplish great things. And you're here today and you may have obstacles. Let me tell you something. Paul had obstacles. Listen, his face was bruised by rocks, but his spirit was never bruised. He kept connecting to the grace of God, and they kept commending him to the grace of God. This man who was blinded on the Damascus Road ended up with missionary journeys that transformed whole regions here in Galatia, making a powerful difference. And it may be that you're here today and you find yourself facing an obstacle. Now, I'm going to ask Katie if she would to come and just share a word about her life story. Because when you hear her story, you'll realize how important it is that we don't allow our obstacles to define us, but we seize our opportunities. Katie, come on up.
I'm not helpless either, Maul. Thank you. I want to say pace, which is peace, from Romania. And it was a great opportunity to go and share kind of what God has done in my life to kids that kind of find themselves in places where I've found myself feeling. So I kind of want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt like a squirrel sometimes, like when you're driving down the road and that squirrel kind of jumps out in front of you and it doesn't know which way to go and it's kind of zigzagging and you're like, if you just stay still, if you just stay right there, I can kind of drive around you and everything will be okay. Have you ever felt that way? I felt that way a lot as a kid. Like I was kind of in the road and I was zigzagging like, oh gosh, where do I go? This car's going to hit me. And if I just stayed still, everything would have been okay, you know? And if I just would have relied on God to kind of just pick me up and go, I'm going to go around you, and I'm going to kind of make everything okay. Everything would have been okay. So kind of to kind of share you where I've come in from, I was born into a broken home. My family was very dysfunctional, and dysfunctional is kind of common here. It's very common in Romania. I was 8 months old when my parents divorced. I'm one of four girls. I have two older sisters and a twin sister. But what I've realized through my life is that God has always had his hand on me. He's always been there for me. When I was younger, I went through a lot. My parents always bickering. My parents hated each other. And I say hated each other, I mean, like, I never saw my parents even smile at one another. They were always bickering. When I was 6 years old, I began being sexually abused by my grandfather, which I shared for the very first time in Romania in front of like 600 people, which was very terrifying. But what I want you to see is that through that, like, God just kind of rescued me. When I was 12 years old, 11, I started middle school, which was kind of traumatic. But the summer before, my biological father was put into prison for theft by taking and was sentenced to 20 years in jail. He served 5, not 20, which was an answered prayer. But so going into middle school, I had a father in prison. My mother had remarried when I was 7 years old, and he was an alcoholic, and he was very abusive, would hit my mother and come after us sometimes. It's just very mean. Person, and the reason he was mean is because he did not know the hope of Christ. He did not know the Lord. I'm a firm believer that if you know God, that you cannot act that way towards anyone. He did not know love and was not emanating love out of him. And so starting middle school, I felt hopeless. I felt orphaned. I felt like I had no one by my side. My mother suffered from depression, having a husband that was so mean and so hateful to her. And kind of her past, too, like going through all the stuff that she went through, it was very hard. And so I had a lot of obstacles from a very young age. In sixth grade, I started school, and there was this young boy, and I saw him, and I was like, oh, man, he's kind of cute. And he became my boyfriend. And we were kind of back and forth a little bit. He broke my heart. I was like, oh, I still like him. Kind of that middle school thing. Well, he became one of my best friends, and still to this day is one of the best friends that I've ever had, and I love him so much. And through that relationship, God fostered a relationship between his mother and I. And she is the best friend I've ever had. And through that relationship that God gave me with her, she began taking me to church. And my real family had always, like, talked about God. And, you know, I knew about Jesus, and I knew about Bible story, and we sang Father Abraham in Sunday school. I knew that whole deal. Well, what I didn't know is that God wants to foster a relationship with each person, and that he wants to love on you from the inside out, and he wants that to kind of just come out of you no matter what. And I experienced that with this family, and this family took me to youth camp and in Scroon Lake, New York for Word of Life, and I went up there and saw that people my age could foster a relationship with the Lord and could use their talents and their abilities to serve God. And I was like, whoa, this is really neat. And it was at that youth camp that God just began to tug at my heart and show me that, you know, yeah, you might have been abused as a kid, and yeah, things are kind of rough at home, and your dad's in prison, and yeah, things are kind of rough, but I love you, and I really love you, and I love you, and I want to be your father that you don't have right now. And I felt that tug on my heart, and I remember going up. We were supposed to have a campfire, but of course it rained. My luck. I was like, man, it rained on a campfire service. And anyway, it didn't really matter. I went up, and I surrendered my heart to the Lord. And I remember just this sitting outside of the cabin at the church group and sitting there and going, you know, like, God wants to love me. Like, and I'm tainted. Like, all these bad things have happened to me. Like, who would want me? And God wanted me, and he called me to him. And I gave my life to him, and I was sitting on the porch of my cabin, and I was just crying, and I was like, why am I crying? This is crazy. This is happy. And it was just the relief of the burden had been taken off of me as a 12-year-old child. Like, God loves me. And so I came back home, and I was telling my mom and my stepdad, who has never believed in God, and things just really started kind of getting worse. I was a Christian, and Satan had, like, this aggression, like, oh, my gosh, like, she can't come home and share the love of Christ with him because I've got a hold of him, and I've got a hold of her mother. And so that's really what happened, and things just got worse. And it ended up this family just kept loving on me and showing me the love of Christ and fostering my relationship with the Lord. And by the time I was in eighth grade, I had been going to church with them a lot. And this is just a God thing. I had a new boyfriend at this time, and I had left a denim jacket of his in their car from going to youth with them. Well, that Thursday, Sandy didn't want Nathan to bring it in to me because that would be kind of weird. And so on that Friday morning, she was going to bring it to me. Well, what she didn't know is that early that Friday morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning, my stepdad had come home really, really drunk. And he beat my mother so badly, she broke her arm, and she had stitches in her eyes. And I was afraid he was going to come after me, so I'd shove my bed against the door. It was just really bad. And so I was at my locker. My mom had always told me, you know, Katie, be strong. Things are going to get better. Just be strong. I was like, okay, Mom, I can do this. And I went to school. I'm standing at my locker, and I'm, like, going through it. And I look through the door, and here comes Sandy with the denim jacket. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. Well, she comes in, and she looks at me and takes one look. And I promise she's the only person to this day that can look at me and know exactly what's going on in my heart. And she looked at me, and she said, what is wrong with you? I was like, just tears everywhere. Well, we found it out where it just worked out where I would stay with their family when my stepdad was home, and when he wasn't home, I would stay with my mom. Well, through the years, it just kind of worked out. I've been living with them now for 10 years, and they are God's provision in my life, and they have helped me with everything from cars to dating to prom to going through college. I just finished my fourth year of college, and they're just God's blessing in my life. And what I want to share with you guys is that, you know, like BG said, that we go through obstacles and God puts things in our way, and we may go, you know, like, I don't understand why all this could happen to me. I didn't drink. I didn't ask for my grandfather to abuse me. I didn't ask for my stepfather to do all that. I didn't ask for my dad to rob a bank. None of those things I asked for, none of those things I acted upon and sinned, and God brought that to me. But through all of that, like, I can see God's grace abound so much in my life and God's provision. And, you know, it's, I joke a lot that in my real family, I'm the white sheep of an all-black sheep family. And the only reason I can be that is that God took my sin when I was black and dirty in sin, and God took that and washed it all away, and now I'm a white sheep. And I want all of you to know that you can be a white sheep too, and that no matter what obstacles you face, no matter what troubles that you go through, that God can deliver you from that, and all you have to do is go, you know, like, God, I'm not worthy of it, but thank you so much for your love. And that's what God can do. And it was a privilege to share that with the orphans in Romania that have been kind of where I've been and just never heard the word I love you. And so I get to hear it every day, and I've heard it every day for 10 years. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Thank you, Katie. Good morning. Good morning. I heard that the first night she shared, just parts of it. She didn't share as much as she did today. And it just made me want to say to all of us, when you have obstacles, look beyond them to the opportunity God has for you. Because some of you, I know your story, you get up and share the same story. The pain, the difficulty, the heartache. But the whole real story is that we don't focus on what stops us. We focus on what takes us where only God can take us. And that's the power of the gospel work in our lives. So as we pray, I want to ask if you would to bow your head. And as we pray, today I want to ask you to make a very clear affirmation before God. In a moment, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to acknowledge that you have an obstacle that you must be willing to confess. I have this obstacle. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and confess that obstacle to God. And then I'm going to challenge you to seize your opportunity. And Father, as we come to this moment, our heads are bowed, our hearts are bowed. I thank you, Lord, that you take broken girls like Kate and you heal them. And you use people who walk through open doors, like Bruce and Sandy. I thank you for their family who have given her a home and a place to connect. Or anything else, I thank you for the eternal home you've given her, the peace that passes understanding, to know that all of that pain, all those obstacles are set aside and we find our perfect peace in you. I pray, Lord, that in this service we've heard testimony of how orphans have been saved. We really heard the story of an orphan here who was taken in by those who love God. And I pray, Lord, that as we take this moment to respond, that we would all look inside of our hearts and ask ourselves the question, are we defined by our obstacles or our opportunities? And I ask you, Lord, to do something in our hearts and lives. And Lord, even as this service has gone a little longer than we normally would, this is your hour. This is your moment. We yield ourselves to you. We ask you to speak to our hearts. With every head bowed, if you would be willing to say to your pastor today, yes, I have an obstacle, but I acknowledge it before God today that it will not define me. You'd be willing to lift your hand wherever you are in this room and just say, I have that obstacle. Lift them up if you know that you know what they are. Jesus, you've seen all these hands. Peter, who said, I have an obstacle I have to deal with. Lord, I think about these two services. If several hundred people would cleanse their way of all those obstacles, what opportunity would be before us? How much impact would we make for the gospel right here and throughout our city and around the world. And Lord, I pray that you would move in our lives in a very significant way. But I want to also ask, as your heads are bowed, how many of you would say, I am willing to follow God's opportunity for my life? If you're willing to follow that opportunity, lift your hand up. You say, Lord, I'm willing to follow whatever that opportunity is. I give my life to you to follow that. Father, you see hundreds of hands as well. People saying yes to the opportunity. Move in their lives, Lord. Show them, like Paul, to have a bold reliance on you. A faithful consistency. So they can experience dramatic transformation. So they can be encouraging and energizing to those they meet. So that they can ultimately testify to the grace of God. Lord, we bless you for your faithfulness. Bless us as we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.